God spared my life for a reason.
What does Mike Johnson think about any issue under the sun? I said, well, go pick up a Bible off your shelf and read it. That's my worldview. That's what I believe.
But I believe the most persecuted faith in the world today is the Christian faith.
As the second Trump administration plunges the geopolitical world into confusion and disarray with its erratic and baffling pronouncements, many are left wondering how to understand just what's going on with one of the world's superpowers.
Oh, if we could get one of our own to the top of the mountain as a president. If he has no infrastructure working under him, it's just going to make his mission just miserable. We need to be like salt. You know, we're salt and light, where we're just in everything. From the bottom of the mountain of government to the top, it's just so full of the presence of sons and daughters of the king who understand their mission that that mountain becomes transformed and reflects government of heaven.
Look no further than the administration's close ties to the Heritage Foundation and its Project 2025. The current U.S. administration is driven by a specific type of Christianity that teaches about an omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipowerful God who commands his followers to dominate society and establish his kingdom on earth.
Because the government shall be upon his shoulders. He wants us plugged into him so that we can have governmental authority to shape the environment on the earth.
This type of Christianity believes that once society is dominated by believers, Jesus will return and begin a reign of heaven on earth, where the wicked will be punished and the righteous will have their reward.
And they produce lies because they're saying there's an existential issue with climate change. It's not existential, because God says that he's going to come back to and create a new heaven, new earth, and he's going to separate the sheep nations from the goat nations. The world's not going to perish.
For adherence to this type of Christianity, the righteousness of their actions toward this goal justifies nearly any means. And I should know, because I was raised as one. To understand the initiatives and realignments of this administration, we'll walk through some key beliefs espoused by people who are advising Donald Trump and sitting in some of the most powerful positions in America. Today, we're lifting the veil on evangelical Christianity and how it views the role of women in society. In the Bible Belt of the American South, my family were in church three times a week, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And that wasn't unusual in my hometown. You might say we were the buckle of the Bible Belt. Swinging my stockinged legs from the red velvet pews, these thrice weekly meetings imbued in me the edicts and ideals for life according to evangelical Christianity. Chief among those precepts and admonitions were exacting expectations about how to be a good little church girl.
Wives are women, wives are married to men and women are what there are in terms of gender.
This is Dan Miller, professor of religion and social thought at Landmark College in the American state of Vermont.
Maybe if it's before the service starts, they're sipping on their coffees, whatever, and the wife is on her husband's arm, smiling.
Dan also happens to be a former evangelical preacher.
And in my imagination, she's just smiling. She's not talking, she's not contributing. She's just smiling. And it's this image where she is there to accompany her husband. She is there to play her role and to be content in playing that role. This also implies that a wife's source of satisfaction and happiness should be her domestic relationships. It should be her husband. It should be her kids. And I think that this communicates some really well-worn Christian and cultural stereotypes about women. First, I find an allusion to Paul's injunction in 1 Corinthians 14.
So when he is saying here, let the women keep silence in the churches, it's not permitted for them to speak.
This is Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel movement in California, which started in the 1960s. He's preaching on 1 Corinthians 14.
But they are commanded to be in obedience, as also saith the law. And now we understand what Paul is talking about. If they will learn anything Let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for a woman to speak in the church. Now, evidently, as the instruction was being given, sometimes a wife would call across the room to her husband and say, "Honey, what's he talking about? What's he mean by that? Is he talking about us?"
Although Pastor Chuck Smith died in 2013, the church movement he founded continues today in over 1,800 congregations worldwide. This preaching style is very common in the evangelical church, shifting back and forth between reading the passage and commentary on it.
Verse 40 says, "Let all things be done decently and in order, in an orderly manner." Well, if one person is speaking at a time, is that an orderly manner? If two or three people are speaking at the same time, is that an orderly manner? Have you ever sat at a dinner table where there were multiple conversations going on at the same time? And you try to follow all of those conversations? I will guarantee that there's not a single male in here who can follow all of those conversations. I will also guarantee that most of the ladies in here have no problem following everyone and knowing everything and can jump in between those conversations just as easy as can be.
It's not just the explicit directives about the right and proper place for girls and women that can be harmful, but the subtle coded messages that can undermine self-confidence and the development of a sense of self.
But it is an imperative, the word keep, which indicates this is a command from God, let your women keep silent in the churches.
By the way, this is a sermon delivered at Palm Beach Lakes Church of Christ in Florida.
For they are not permitted to speak, but they are to be submissive, as the law also says. And if they want to learn, let them ask their own husbands at home rather than in the assembly. For it is shameful for women to speak in the church.
The way in which girls and women are talked to and talked about in evangelical churches has impact beyond the church walls. The congregants go out from their church meetings and live according to these beliefs. They run businesses according to these beliefs. They work in their local communities according to these beliefs.
The Supreme Court minutes ago punched a hole in the Affordable Care Act. The justices ruled that private corporations can reject insurance coverage of birth control based on their religious beliefs.
To Jan fix Crawford my name or authoritative title on a certificate that authorizes marriage that conflicts with God's definition of marriage as a union between one man and one woman violates my deeply held religious convictions and conscience.
Today we stood before the Colorado Supreme Court asking for this harassment to stop and to not force Jack to create a cake expressing a message that violates his belief.
Because the church is often seen as a societal good, it's difficult to explain how church can hurt or be a source of malfeasance. While those who adhere to these beliefs tend to shake off any critical analysis by claiming the authority of the Bible and of God, what they fail to acknowledge in their resolute guardianship of theirs as the only right and proper moral code is the right of others to live according to their beliefs and moral code. And nowhere is this borne out more clearly than the role they expect women to fulfill in society, in the church, and in the family.
A smiling wife is a submissive wife. She's a wife who stands by her husband, and she accepts that role. She accepts her submission. This is, within a certain kind of Christian context, the idealized vision of what a woman ought to be. Submissive to her husband, serving her husband, happy in that role, knowing that that is her true role of submission.
So let me say very simply, I want more babies in the United States of America.
I'll be known as the fertilization president, and that's okay.
I'm going to do it whether the women like it or not. I'm going to protect them.
The Trump administration marches onward, the worldview shaping many of its policies, and those who are crafting and promoting these policies believe it is their religious and civic duty to establish God's law within the government and the wider American society. Or, to name it for what it is, the Trump administration is being guided by principles of Christian nationalism.